Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes, and you know what we're doing there? We get an invited guest in, we talk about their life and what they've been doing with themselves and also the songs that they bring back some terrific memories. Now, the person I've got with me today is a person that you will have heard on air on a number of occasions. We've had her partner, Mark, in, and we've talked to Mark about his life, and he spoke very highly of his wife, Glenda. And I know Glenda is off and on with him on a Sunday morning. So it's my pleasure to introduce Glenda Riddell. How are you, Glenda?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure to have you along. Now, we've got to ask where all this started. So where were you born, Glenda?
I was born in Box Hill in 1955.
Oh, no, I don't need to know your I don't need to know your age.
I don't mind that, actually. I'm quite happy in that place where I'm at now.
So where did you live when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I lived in Box Hill really all my growing up years. And, of course, it was a very different Box Hill to what we have now. Yeah, it's totally different. But, so, yeah, I still have a very soft spot for Box Hill, even though it's changed
All right, so while you were there, we don't worry about school. Everybody went to school at some stage. Did you have a part-time job at all?
No, I didn't. I actually left home super early. I wasn't even 15 when I left home. I left home super early. And so it was straight into the workforce.
Oh, did you? Well, at 15?
Well, yeah. Well, basically, as soon as I was able to work,
get a job. What... And what was your first job?
Working in a chemist shop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, loved it too.
In Box Hill?
In Blackburn South, actually,
right. Yeah. So how long were you there, Glenda?
I was there for a few years and then I moved on to the PMG in those days.
Oh, yep.
And used to be one of the ladies on the end. You know where you used to ring for a number?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, I can't remember the information kind of thing.
Yep.
And so, yeah, and then I was only very young and I moved around a lot and I had a lot of different jobs, but it all adds to the experience, so...
When you were working for the PMG, you'd have had to have looked up phone books in those days, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, we sort of had like a data thing in front of us. It certainly wasn't a computer.
Yeah. So it was, were they fish something, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right, microfish, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to look that up to find.
Yeah, the old fishing way, hey? Haven't we come a long way?
Absolutely. So how long were you at the PMG?
Oh, probably about 12 months or something, and then a job came up in Middle Camberwell. There used to be I think it's an IGA, but it used to be called Tucker Bag.
Oh, yeah, I remember Tucker Bag.
Someone I knew lived there, and so, yeah, I thought, oh, okay, I'll give that a try. And
So what, like you say, you moved around, but was always in that area?
No, I just went everywhere because... Yeah, just sort of basically, I was only a very young girl and, you know, I was sort of, as you do in those days, you know, you're moving with a friend and you might be there for a while and then something else looks more exciting and you'll go over there and you're just like, it's all part of life's experience.
So, Glenda, I just want to go back a little tick because that's pretty young, 15, to have left home. So when you left home... Where did you go?
Well, initially I kind of went to a family friend. They weren't actually relations, and that was way over in Windsor, Balaclava way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Yeah. And, like, I used to travel all the way from there back to Blackburn.
back to work.
To work.
Gee.
So, yeah.
So, would you say you've lived all over, sort of, at what sort of places too? Like, were they all in Victoria?
Oh, yeah, they were all in Victoria, yeah.
Yep. In the country or all
oh,
in
no,
Melbourne?
Oh, no, primarily around the city. Been always been a bit of a city girl, so,
All right, so your first song, I Got Your Babe by Sonny and Cher. Why did you pick that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, well, look, I just love being, as I said, born in, you know, mid-50s, just yep. loved the 60s. Yep. All that music, I think... Everything about it, I really, the rhythm appealed to me. It was short, sharp, you know, clappy, happy clappy music.
Yep.
And I know in the 60s there was sort of the darker music, but I always went for the light stuff. I didn't like anything abstract. I wanted simple and fun, and so
sounds
there you
good.
Go.
Let's play it. Choice Tunes, and I have with me Glenda Riddell, and a lot of you will have heard Glenda. She's off and on with Mark on a Sunday morning with the Christian Experience, and we hear her talking about the show and some of the promos we play here. Glenda, you've said over you've had quite a number of jobs, a variety of different jobs. Out of all the jobs you've had, what would be the best job?
The one that jumps out for me was I worked for a company called Chemtron, who are no longer, in St Kilda Road, just opposite the Shrine. And I had had a fantastic boss, and I think it's kind of like that's the bit that jumps out the most. He was just, because when I first went into it, you know, I was in a bit above my head. Yeah. And, you know, but it was just really interesting, a lot of diversity in the job.
And what did they do, Glenda?
Oh, well, we were the share department for GJ Cole. Not for GJ Cole, sorry. That was my previous job. But then I went on in there, and that was shares as well for Chemtron. Oh, and yeah. So, yeah, we managed all the shares and, you know, the shareholdings and stuff. And but I also, it was only a very small company, and, like, you had a lot of opportunity to jump in other roles when perhaps staff were away. So perhaps, you know, I'd get to be taking the role as secretary for the general manager for the morning,
that'd be all
you know.
Right. Yeah,
you'd
yeah.
be trembling a bit in your boots, and then, like, the next day you might be on the reception desk. So lots of variety.
All right. Number two, What a Wonderful World. Why is that there, Glenda?
Yeah, look, this is kind of one of my key songs. It's kind of like a foundational song for me. It's all tied in with my sister. I lost a sister when I was 13 and a half.
And how old was she?
And Cheryl died when she was 3 years and 8 months.
Oh, yeah.
And she was born without a gallbladder.
Oh,
and back in those days, they couldn't do, you know,
do
much to help. So we knew she wasn't going to live a long life. But I remember one day going, because I lived in Box Hill, and I remember one day going up to the Box Hill Cemetery to visit Cheryl's grave. And just, you know, through those back streets, someone was out there in the driveway washing their car, and they had this song coming out, you know, Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. And it just, like, it just really touched my heart, and it's been with me ever since. And so, and it's a very kind of inspirational song as well. So I think a lot of people love this one. So hopefully our listeners will enjoy it.
No worries.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
So at some stage of the game, you met Mark, but I don't think you met her. I think you met him a lot earlier than what I thought in your life. So at what stage of the game did you meet Mark?
Well, we first discovered each other, I think, I can't remember how, maybe I was about 3, 4, and we have photos of each other holding hands because we were next door neighbours. And so we have photos of us holding hands at my birthday party. And, like, he's sitting around the kitchen table, you know, we've all got our party hats on. It's just so gorgeous. And then, of course, he and his family moved.
Did they, where'd they go?
They went off to, from Box Hill, they went to Boronia.
Oh, right.
And so he spent all his growing up years in Boronia.
Yep.
And Meanwhile, he got married, I got married, and both of our marriages disintegrated, sadly. Yep. But then we caught up later, and it was through church friends, actually, because Mark went to the same church that some of my special friends went to.
Oh, right.
And that's kind of really the main connection. We kind of... I knew Mark's wife more than I knew Mark, actually.
Right.
And I remember one day I went down to visit my family home down in Box Hill because my parents were still there.
Right.
And one day I was going, you know, down that street and Mark was driving out, Mark and his wife. And later on his wife said to me, what were you doing down there? You know, it's a bit odd. And I said, oh, I used to live down there. And she said, oh, that's funny, that's where Mark lived. And, like, as soon as she said it, I knew... Because you know when you're a kid...
Oh, you hadn't realised up until that
stage. No. So you know when you're a kid, you just know all the other kids in the street.
Yep.
So as soon as she said Mark lived there, I said, there's only one Mark.
So, pardon me, so you got back to... You met Mark at when you were young.
Yeah.
And then you both... And how many years between the when you... When he moved away until you actually met him as a single man?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, you know, 30 or something. Because, so there was a couple, like there was that time when we were kids and then there was the time where I kind of knew his wife more than I knew him through these mutual friends.
Yep.
But then we didn't connect or catch up or anything. And then it was only after his marriage had broken down and then my marriage had been broken down for a couple of years. I was by myself, a single mum with two boys.
Yep.
And so we connected through these mutual friends one day. I just happened to be there and Mark phoned to talk with the husband. And I pick up the phone and I said, oh, g'day, how are you? And we're having a chat. And then he said, oh, how about we catch up and go out for a meal? And I'm just like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because my life was, I just didn't want to get caught up in a relationship. I felt I had my hands full as a single mum.
Yep.
And so I kept kind of putting him off. And that happened for quite a while until one day he, on the phone, he kind of just threw it at me quickly about how about tonight, and I felt a bit pressured and I just said, oh, okay, and then thought, oh, why have I done this?
Oh, that's good.
But we had this wonderful meal together and it was just like I just knew because I knew because I knew deep down in my soul.
Yep.
Mark was talking about his own children and saying he'd have to be really careful who he introduced into their life.
Yep.
And I just knew at that point deep down in my own soul that that was going to be me.
Did you?
Which was so contrary to the fact that...
Well, you didn't want to go.
I didn't want a relationship with anyone, but it was just like, you know, I had a faith by this stage and I just felt like it was the Holy Spirit confirming within me, yep, this is you.
Terrific.
And it was like, wow. And so there you go.
Sounds true. For once in my life, Stevie Wonder, why...
Look, there's not a big story behind it. It's just 60s, lots of... I loved it. It was bright, happy, and so... I still enjoy it to this day. Lots of lovely memories.
Let's listen to it.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, well, life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I do. Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Heard me before. Oh, once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. Oh, once I can say this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
Now, Glenn, you just shared with us that you were a single mum for some time by yourself. In back in the, I mean, things have changed a lot now because you know, with welfare payments and all that sort of stuff. So back when you were a single mum, it would have been pretty hard. What did you find the hardest thing about being a single mum?
Definitely the hardest thing was two sons who were very angry because their dad, he really just abandoned them, to be honest.
Oh, did he?
He went into state. He went back to his first wife. In fact, he'd already started this relationship with her before ours even broke down. That's really what was the pinnacle that caused it. And so he went straight back there and he just didn't maintain a relationship with the boys. Whenever he phoned, it was usually just to yell at me about child support payments or something. And it was like the boys didn't get much of a look in. So the boys were very angry. And that was the hardest bit of being a single mum, to be honest.
Well, that's pretty hard. Mm. All right, number five, you'll never walk alone.
Yeah, look, what happened was when the marriage... Well, actually, how it all happened was some of the people from the Yarra Valley would know of Ben Werin up in Yarra Junction.
Yep.
And it was kind of like a little bit of a safe retreat where I was able to go in those circumstances and take my boys when I needed to leave my family home. And so we stayed there for a few weeks. During that time, I became a Christian because Ben Werin was run by Mrs. Mack.
Yep.
And, she brought me to my faith in Christ.
Yep.
And so You'll Never Walk Alone is really, it's a very inspiring song because it reminds you that no matter what you're walking through in life, like when the waves are... really stirring up and lashing you hard, that there's something you can hang on to. And that became very, very real to me because my first husband, Trevor, was actually threatening a lot of violence because he had an alcoholic nature as well and he was very angry at me for having left him.
Because it was your fault.
Yeah. And so, therefore, he made an awful lot of threats. And I can remember in those early stages when I went back into the family home, we had to arrange for his parents to be there that day and for him to go with them. That's the only condition. Like, he wouldn't just hand over the keys to me to be back in the home. Really? And I remember I'd often go out and then I'd come home and I'd put my key in the door and I'd actually wonder whether something was going to happen when I walked in that house. So when I talk about this song, You'll Never Walk Alone, it was actually very grassroots real for me in trusting in my faith in God that no matter what was going to happen, somehow he would help me through it.
Sounds good. Let's just listen to that.
When you walk through a storm, the end of a storm,
Welcome back to Choice Tunes on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I have with me Glenda Riddell, and a lot of you will have heard Glenda. She's off and on with Mark on a Sunday morning with a Christian Experience, and I know they both have great faith. Glenda, we like to ask some really hard questions just to put people on the spot. What was your first car that you bought?
Volkswagen.
A Volkswagen?
A little VW.
The little Beetle.
Yeah,
what colour?
Beetle, yeah.
What colour?
A little green one.
Was it one that had a fuel gauge? Because a lot of them didn't, did they?
Yes, it did.
Because I had a mate and he was forever running out of fuel because they forgot there was no fuel gauge on some of them in
wow.
the early days.
Oh, yeah, no, mine did, thankfully.
Oh, well, you had one of the updated versions.
Yeah, I did.
Glenda, do you hear the people sing? Les Miserables? Why'd you pick that one?
I love this. It's talking about courage and overcoming adversity, but also it brings faith into it. There's a couple of verses that everyone hears all the time. They're well played. But there's also a couple of other verses which talk more about the faith aspect. And I really just want to touch on them. And I'll just warn the listeners. So you'll hear a couple of strong, clear verses, and then it'll go quiet, and then it'll be a very slow build-up to the next. So don't think that the music stopped. It's just, so it's called, I think they call it a reprise or something. And these are the words which I really wanted to focus on. So it's, do you hear the people sing lost in the valley of the night? It is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. And then in the next verse it says, we will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. We will walk behind the plowshare and we will put away the sword. The chain will be broken and all men will have their reward. And just before we play it, I just thought what was interesting, you know, occasionally we hear this term plowshare and we might think, well, what is it? It's a very sort of old-fashioned thing. But when you think about it from the spiritual concept, the plowshare is a creative tool that's been designed for the benefit of mankind, whereas the sword is a destructive tool of war, basically. Yep. So really what it's talking about there is that we will walk behind the plowshare and put away the sword. So enjoy.
All right, let's listen to it.
If I
welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I'm talking to Glenda Riddell, and we're hearing quite a lot about her life. Now, Glenda, we know that from time to time, as we've mentioned, that you're on with Mark with a Christian Experience. First of all, we won't worry about Mark because we've already talked to Mark on Choice Tunes. What made you want to get involved with radio, or maybe Mark talked you into it, I don't know, and why Yarra Valley FM?
Yeah, well, it was really, we shifted up here. We shifted up to Wurrialik. We were just up there on the hill in Allen Grove.
Yep.
And we were driving past the studio all the time. And so Mark, you know, his interest was piqued and tuned in and heard Matt Shaw.
Oh, yeah, Matt Shaw. Yeah,
and loved it. Yep. And Mark sort of said, okay, I think I'm going to try this. So he did the training, and then I was just always around the station helping out with admin and doing bits and pieces.
Yep.
And so people would say to me, oh, you should be on, you know, go on air. And anyway, I ended up doing the training with George Humms, and then got on air shaking in my boots the first day.
Yeah.
And I did a midweek program called Euphoria, which I actually really loved, and it was just a great mix of music. And Mark was still working at that stage. He was working with clients with dementia, and he would take them. He was activities coordinator, and he'd have them often out on the bus. And Mark, we would sort of tie it in that at a certain time I'd play a song for the people on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, these are all golden oldies.
Yeah.
So I'd play, you know, songs that meant something to them.
Yeah.
And so I loved it. They loved it. There was a win-win.
Oh, that's terrific. And then you moved on to the Christian show.
Yeah. And well, that started about the same time, yeah. I think Graham Dawson had been doing it for a while, and then he needed to leave because of ill health, so Mark took that on, and so I jumped on board with him and we did it together. And
oh, terrific.
Yeah, it was good.
Now, Glenda, we've messed up on the songs because, Mark, I hope you're listening. You've got the wrong number on the list. But anyway, what did we just play?
I think we just played The Last Mile of the Way by Sam Cooke.
So did you pick that one?
Oh, look, I just like a bit of soul. And once again, it's really kind of the rhythm, but it, also the faith message in it. Yeah, you know, it's sort of talking about faith at the end of time. We know where we're going, and yeah, so it's all going to be okay.
So what do we think the number of Do You Hear the People Sing? What number do we think that might be?
Well, I thought it might have been 5, but we'll have to see.
Well, we'll see how we start. We'll start it and we'll keep moving.
Good idea.
When you walk through a storm,
you can't be so that I
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Glenda. Glenda, if we don't want to know about your situation now, we know you live in around this area, and that's none of our business. But if I said to you, forget about costs, forget about everything, you can live anywhere in the world. Is there anywhere where you'd really want to live? Anywhere?
Oh, that's a big one.
Yep.
pre-COVID, I might have had a different answer for you. look, to be really honest, there's places that appeal to me, but I am really kind of happy where I'm at. I will be honest. I really think that God's given me a peace to just be at peace with where I'm at, even though there's some situations about it that aren't so wonderful. You know, we live on kind of a main road and it's very busy, and, you know, sometimes it would appeal, like, I love the valley.
Yep.
It's just beautiful. There's some things about it, but it's like I think that the lesson there for me is that we can learn to find peace and be okay wherever we are, whatever the circumstances are. And look, you know, a little bit of wisdom comes with age too.
Absolutely.
You learn to be a little bit more settled with things, even if they're not quite the way you'd like them to be.
All right. So along the line, you've had a number of jobs. Forget about all those jobs. If I said to you, forget about qualifications, forget about anywhere in the world, is there any job you would love to have been able to do?
I would have loved to have better education.
Would you?
I definitely would.
As a teacher or?
No. I left home very early and I left school. And unfortunately for me, once my little sister died, parts of me just kind of closed up, and I spent a lot of my schooling kind of staring out the window, a bit lost, a bit daydreamy.
Yep.
And I left school very early, but I've really got this, like, great passion for learning. I'm a bit of a secret researcher.
Oh, that's all right.
I love doing that. And so I know that had my life been taken a different turn, I think I would have been probably really got into education, but I would have probably gone for a kind of occupation where I was going to be reaching out and trying to impact people in a very real world. I wouldn't say I would have gone into the ministry as such, but, you know, I've got a great passion to really reach out and touch people's lives in a meaningful way, just like as my life.
Yep.
You know, people have done that for me.
Yep.
Because I was a bit of a troubled soul after my sister died. I just couldn't understand. I mean, I was only 13, but it didn't make sense to me, you know, the world was no longer safe if a little child could die.
Yeah.
You know,
and I guess, and I've had people have had terrific faith, still say, well, why did God let it happen?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, I've had to come to terms with. I was very, very angry with God.
Yeah.
And not that I had a great understanding of him. I only had a Sunday school understanding of him.
Yep.
But it was once I went up to Benware and I became a Christian, and then it's like I felt like God reached out and met me, even though I wasn't ready to meet him, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I felt like he just did that that wonderful work in the back of my life to start to bring healing and start to bring, give me a sense of understanding, or not, maybe not understanding, maybe more acceptance of things. And I felt like, yeah, this has been a lot of healing and a lot of hope. And it's like, because that's been given to me, you know, I've kind of enjoy being able to
pass it on.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You can't do wonderful things for everybody, but you know, every little bit for someone can help.
It can help. Go Light Your World. Why did you pick that one?
Yeah, well, for that very reason, it's a very inspiring song, and it really is. If you listen to the lyrics of this one, it really is about reaching out to others who are hurting. And when I was on air doing Euphoria, I can remember one day someone phoned in to find out the name of the song, as listeners often do. Yeah. And this lady just said to me, oh, I've just been out doing my shopping and I heard this song, and she said, I just had to turn the motor off and sit and just drink it in, because she said, and it's just really got to me, you know, and it made her very emotional. So it really kind of touched her. And, you know, I think, well, there's just something about this song. And look, we're in a world that's suffering, and there's a lot of there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of tragedy, there's a lot of confusion. We all need a bit of inspiration.
Right,
so that's what this is about.
Just before we do, I think we're fast coming to the time. The hour goes extremely quickly. Glenda, thank you for coming and being part of Choice Tunes.
My pleasure.
I hope you've enjoyed looking back on your life, and that's part of what this does. When you start to think of these songs, it brings back memories that sometimes you've forgotten.
Mm, and very precious memories too. Yep. And not always happy ones, but, you know, it's all part of the fabric of life, isn't it?
That's life.
Yep.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own. Let's raise our candles and light up the sky.